when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, dear people, dear Blood River Radio family. You're listening to Blood River Radio. We are the only radio station I know of in the United States of America that has, and probably the entire world, that our sole mission has been to fight against global white genocide and the so-called ethnic cleansing that's going on right now, even as we speak. It's picking up. And, you know, under that umbrella of our mission comes to destroy lies. You know, we last week we had, I'm going to get to the prayer in just a minute, people. This show's going to be a little complicated because we've got a lot of people on the line. And we're going to run it on a military-like precision. Back when I was in the Army 1,000 years ago, we called it an order of operations. So I'll tell you the order of operations just a minute, the way we're going to run it, to keep people from talking over each other. But last week, we had Monica Schaefer on, Fred Leutcher, and Jürgen Neumann. And we talked about the Holocaust and the trial that we talked about the trial. Our star was on trial in Canada for thought crime, speech crime, and Holocaust denial. We went all over that. That was a lie by admission. The lie we're talking about tonight, the lie, this is, by the way, this is going to be part two of our Sacrificing Liberty show series. I don't call it a show. It's like a mission. It's a truth-telling mission. And we have three of the surviving sailors coming tonight. We have one sailor on tonight that was not on the first show, but he's going to be coming on tonight. And he's a very great gentleman. I talked to him just yesterday, I believe it was. And anyway, so I told you what we did last week. Next week, God willing, next week, we're going to have Major General Nick Glastefek on and Dr. Tom Sunick. Now, they're going to be coming on and tell us about the meetings that they have been having in Germany with the AfD, the Alternative for Germany Party, which is the third largest party in Germany right now. Okay, people, one more thing of business before we go to our precious, precious guest. I tell you, I'm so honored and humbled to have them on. But anyway, we got a nice donation from Pam and Dennis in Virginia, and they sent a really nice card. I mean, I'll just cut half the card because we're pressed for time. Dennis, they were on vacation, Hilton Head, South Carolina, and a lot of you people listening to me, you know who Dennis and Pam are in Virginia, but I'm not going to, that's all I'm going to say about that. Dennis fell and hurt his head. He was hospitalized. He had a heart rate of 130, which is really high, and he had what they call a 2-to-1 atrial flutter. So that's nurse talk. Y'all probably wouldn't understand that, but it's not good. But anyway, he converted over back to normal sinus rhythm in 4 days, Pam said. Me and Pam are fellow RNs. I was trained in the Elvis Presley Memorial Trauma Unit here in Memphis. Listen, we got another great, the most beautiful card. You would never see. This has to be a custom-made card. It's got a beautiful picture of General Robert E. Lee on the front. He's got his birthday, and the man sent it to us. His name is Alan from Tallahassee, Florida. Get a great donation. Well, Lord knows we need him. I tell you, without donors, people, there would be no Blood River Radio. We hocked everything we had back in 2018, and that carries through 1 year, but we cannot make it without donors. Anyway, he says, Alan from Tallahassee says, "Dear Mr. Miller, I wish you a very happy 74th birthday. Last Tuesday was my birthday, folks. I listen to your show every week because I learn something every time. Best wishes, Alan. With people, and also, I saw Mr. Buddy this past week. He gave me a beautiful coin. I put it up. Safety was commemorating General Nathan Bedford Forrest. This is his bicentennial. He was born, in, if I remember right, July 13th of 1831. So this is his bicentennial birthday. He gave me that. He gave me a Barnes Review magazine. And also, I've got a Barnes Review magazine in the mail again today. Some wonderful person has subscribed me to the Barnes Review. And I don't know who it is, but whoever did it, thank you so much. Thank you so very, very much. And people, with no, it looks like that's all the business we have to do. So here's what we're going to do. We have three sailors tonight. I'm going to introduce the three sailors and Gene Andrews. Here's what we're going to do, the order of operations. But we're going to say the prayer in just a second. I haven't forgot it. The order of operations is we're going to do, we have Phil Turney. Now, he's the sailor. He was the survivor on the ship, the USS Liberty. He's going to kind of coordinate the three sailors we got on. The three sailors are Mo Schaefer, Ron Kukol, and Phil Turney, of course. And we have Gene Andrews, who's going to be running. He's going to be controlling, running the interview. I'm going to be bringing these people in and out of the breaks. So I'm just kind of helping Gene coordinate what he's going to be doing. He's our primary interviewer tonight. People, I promise you, we're going to say the prayer. So, Mr. Ron Kukol, are you there? Is Ron there? Well, I guess Ron's not there. Oh. They're bringing him. Well, while he's getting Ron, Jay's getting Ron up, I'll continue. I'll just tell you one more time. Gene is a guy. He's a dear brother of ours, and he's very knowledgeable about United States Ship Liberty. He taught history in school, and so what we're going to do as soon as we get Ron up. Ron is very spiritual. He's connected with the, I don't know if you people know it or not, but Pastor Chuck Baldwin. Pastor Chuck Baldwin had a mega church at one time down in Florida. I think it was Pensacola. And he got disenchanted with his people down there because they were, I guess, I'll go ahead and say it, they were just dumb butts. And they were the, you know, they were kind of like this Judeo-Christian worship the government type situation going on down there with those people. He could not lead them out of that morass. So he's Pastor Chuck Baldwin's in Montana right now, and Ron Kukol, the former, he was going to be the honorary. I talked to him yesterday. He was a petty officer. He was up in line to be a chief petty officer. I don't know if he ever got that or not. But he's in line to get it. But anyway, he's going to say our prayer tonight. We get him. So, Ron, you there, fella? Ron? Well, I guess we're going to have to sail the ship without Ron. How about Phil? Are you there? Phil? Okay. Well, I guess we don't have any. How about Mo? Mo, are you there? Well, foe, let me ask one more person. Gene, are you there? Well, folks, it looks like I'm here by myself right now. Jay's working on the situation. If you've been around Blood River Radio long enough, you will know we run into, Lord knows, we have our share of problems. And a matter of fact, I was talking to Ron Kukol just yesterday. And, you know, Ron, and along with Phil, they used to have their own radio show. And I was telling him about all these technical difficulties that we have. And he said, join the club, brother. He said that the most mysterious things you can ever imagine would happen to their equipment when they had their radio show. Matter of fact, they said they had a show on, I believe it was, what they call it the public broadcasting system, PBR. They had a show there. Even you would think on PBR that the powers that be, our enemy, would have left them alone, but it even happened to them there. But we're going to sail. I may have to sail the ship. I may have to be the captain. the seaman, the lowly seaman that cleans the latrine. Hey, I was a medic. I was drafted, and I was pretty much of a prima donna because I was a medic. Because when you're a combat medic, even when you're back in base camp or something, people don't screw with you. And it's the same way, because you know what? When I was a medic, combat medic, you were not, Army regulations prohibited the medics from having KP. Thank God. We couldn't clean the latrines. We couldn't do none of that crap. Because you know what? When the flag went up. Okay, Ron, are you there, fella? Ron? Hello, Ron. Well, I hear a lot of noise, but I still can't hear Ron. Anyway, like I was saying, when I was a medic, we were prohibited from doing any type of KP. We could not clean any latrines. And you probably guessed it why. Now, when you're treated like that, kind of like a prima donna, but there's one time when you're not. When you got some poor GI out there screaming, medic, you got to go, son. And it doesn't matter what's incoming. It doesn't matter what the circumstances. You got to grab your butt with both hands. You got to freaking go. So that's why they treat us royally. And, you know, being an old trauma nurse here in Memphis, I started out, like I told you, at the Elvis Presley Memorial Trauma Center. We called it the Knife and Gun Club. A lot of the things, the difference that you wouldn't see. I like to finish the story, but I hear the music. Anyway, folks, I may have to do this show by myself. But anyway, we're going to our first break, and hopefully we get back. I want Ron Kukol to do the prayer. So people, hold on your seat. You're listening to Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Blood River Radio. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, a congregation of God's covenant people. Informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, dear Blood River Radio people, we're right back. And like we said earlier, it is April the 10th in the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ Almighty. Jesus Christ Almighty, the only name under the sun which man can be saved. I'll just finish that quick little story I was talking about myself before we went to break. We have just a little bit of technical problems. I hear that the sailors are back on board now. I thought I was going to have to sail that freaking ship without a man, an old army guy trying to sail that ship. But anyway, I was just leaving off with about the difference between how combat medics are treated kind of royalty till it hits the fan and you got to go. Well, the same way, you know, I was telling you, I worked at the Elvis Presley Memorial Trauma Center here in Memphis, and when a cop stopped an RN and he knew you worked in the trauma center, tickets, you didn't have to worry about tickets or nothing, because they knew that sooner or later a lot of their buddies going to wind up in that friggin' trauma center. Because anytime you got stabbed, shot, cut with an axe, horrible car wreck, happens to cops all the time. And guess who is going to be taking care of their tails? It's going to be people like me. Anyway, we got this. I hear we got the sailors back. The sailors are lost. I mean, what could you expect? I thought Marines are bad, but man, these sailors are, man, I don't know. They may not be much better than these Marines. Anyway, that's just a joke, of course, folks. Hey, Ron, are you there, fella?
I'm here.
Ron, you there? We finally found you, son. You must have been. I thought you were lost at sea. Well, listen. I talked to you yesterday.
Lost is a good point.
I know one time when you wish you'd have been lost but you couldn't get away from that ship. There's only so many places you could go on that ship. You couldn't get too far away, could you, my friend?
That's true.
Well, listen, like we talked yesterday, you're a spiritual man, and if you will do us the honor, if you will do Blood River Radio the honor, would you lead us in prayer? Take us to the Lord in prayer, Ron, if you don't mind.
Certainly. Father in heaven, one more time we are together. You've been with us since day one, since the day of the attack. And matter of fact, Lord, you knew us before we were in the womb. You knew where we were going to go. You knew what was going to happen to us, and you've been with us. You've always been with us. You were with us when the USS Liberty Memorial Library was dedicated. You've been with us at every reunion. You've been with us whenever any memorial was established to the men who died, to the 34 men who died. You've been with us 71 times at last count, 71 memorials. So, Father, today, I just ask, and I ask my surviving buddies that we make up our mind that we take no credit for keeping the ship afloat. It was you, it was divine intervention, and it was nothing else. And for too long, we have given ourselves credit, and that doesn't cut it with any of us. So I'm hopeful that today we can make that change, give you the credit, you've done it all. And I ask that you guide us as we go through this program. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen, 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 dear Sailor Ron. Ron was a little bit older, and he was a petty officer, maybe an old Army guy. I know, but he was going to be something like it. We'll get him to explain that in a few minutes about he's going to be like kind of honorary chief petty officer. We also had Phil Turney there. Phil Turney was only 18 years old, and he told me he was a lowly seaman. And which I tell you what, without those lowly seamen, though, let those private first classes, the things didn't go. We also have Mr. Mo Schaefer on tonight too, and those are two other dear brothers that were on the USS Liberty. And people, if you remember earlier when I gave the order of operations, we're going to let Phil Turney. I'll say he's going to honor us. We're not letting him do anything. He came on the show voluntarily, but Phil is going to kind of start off the ball rolling with the other two sailors, with Mo and Ron. And then when he gets it going, Gene is going to he'll feel his way in and ask questions that he feels necessary, because Gene is going to be kind of running this interview tonight. The only time I'll ask questions is if I have any questions. I'll try to strictly limit mine. It's when we come back after the breaks. So are you there, Mr. Gene?
Yes, I can hear you.
Great, 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 great. Okay, how about you, Phil? Phil, Gene's there. Phil, if you will, me and Ron talked about it yesterday. Phil, if you will, take off, get going, and Phil, Ron's going to follow your lead, and then Mo's going to chime in too. And with that, Phil, go ahead and go, and then I'm turning it over to you, Phil. You're going to run the sailors, control the sailors, and Gene's going to answer all the questions. So go ahead, Phil. Do we have Phil? Phil? Well, I'll tell you what, since Phil has temporarily dropped off, Ron, why don't you take off and start telling people about the experience you had when you were on the United States Ship Liberty the day of the attack? Give us everything you told me. And tell us about the miracles you witnessed, that you saw over and over. And then Mo can chime in if he's ready. Anytime he's ready to ask questions. And, of course, Gene knows what to do. So go ahead, Ron. Tell us a little bit about what happened that day on the United States Ship Liberty. And we'll get later on into the body recovery that you ran. Go ahead.
All right. Well, if Phil was on here right now, he would be saying that he was topside when the ship was when the reconnaissance planes came in that morning. He probably remembers the time that happened more than I do. But he'd be telling you about the reconnaissance planes that flew around. The pilots recognized us. They waved at us. The planes were marked with the Star David. He'll tell you that. He'll also tell you that he was topside most of the day. Phil Turney was here. He was there. He was everywhere when the attack occurred. Putting out fires, I think he might have been down below lifting men out of the torpedoed compartment, but I'm not really sure. And Phil was just a man of, he just did everything that day. And he, of course, was awarded the I think it's a Silver Star for what he has done. So, yeah, is that Mo trying to say something? I guess not. Anyway, I'll go.
You're still on hold, right?
Mo, Phil, Ron was talking to you, Mo.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know I was on air. It's been kind of a hold here for a bit, but I understand. Go ahead.
I feel
well,
good.
I was just saying,
Phil,
what you were going to say, Phil.
You know what? Can you hear me? Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can hear
you. Fine. You're loud and clear. Loud and clear.
Okay, this is Bob Scarborough. I've been kind of... I didn't, anyway, I didn't really roll the eyes that I was going to be on this program or whether I was just listening in. Hey, Eddie, how are you?
you're on, Bob. I think I neglected to mention your name. I think, but yeah,
that's okay.
Absolutely. So that's my fault there. So,
that's okay.
I'm going to try to get this reeled in a little bit more. So if Phil, are you still there, brother?
Yeah, I missed everything. I'm here, but I'm always ready.
Hi, Phil.
Okay, here's what we're going to do, Phil. We're going to run it. Hey, here's how we're going to run it, Phil. You take off. You're going to be coordinating the sailors. Briefly tell the people what went on the day of the attack. And Ron Kukol is going to be next in line. He's going to follow your lead. And then you sailors are going to take off and go back and forth with each other with the round table. And Gene Andrews is going to handle any questions we have. So go ahead, Phil, take off just like we did the first night we had you on our first series 2 weeks ago. So go ahead, Phil. And Ron's going to follow your lead and chime in when he gets ready. So go ahead, Phil.
Okay, thanks, Eddie. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm always glad to be on air with both my shipmates, good people, kind people, and great people, Ron Kukol and Bob Scarborough. I really didn't get to know Bob too well until I did, and it was really my pleasure, and I'm proud that we came across each other because it's been so many years. But I do want to say one thing, if I may. On every radio show I've been on or anything that's ever happened to the USS Liberty, like the Liberty Library, Ben and Ted Grobe, good things, and the town mayor, Jim Grant, and John Dickman, businessman there, supported that library. It's called anti-Semitic.
Hey, Phil, hold up. Phil, we have to go to a break. I hear the music. Hold on to that, dear brother. We'll bring you right back after this brief break. People, you're listening to Ron Kukol, Phil Turney, and Bob Scarborough, who were sailors in the United States Ship Liberty. And we also got Gene Andrews, who's going to chime in and start asking questions as soon as we get this straightened out a little bit.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra has been asked by Arizona's Attorney General to tour the border. Mark Brnovich said the conditions constitute a clear threat to the health of Americans and illegal immigrants. House Republican Burgess Owens says he's concerned about the record-breaking number of children being housed in cramped conditions.
19,000 unaccompanied children being held in these pods down south. In another 2 weeks, there's going to be a higher number, but a different group of 19,000.
Emergency surgery for Congressman Dan Crenshaw. The Texas Republican says he noticed blurry spots and said the retina of his left eye was detaching. He had surgery in Houston on Friday and says he's now essentially blind for about a month. As a Navy SEAL, he lost his other eye in Afghanistan. This is USA Radio News.
Could an ancient mystery be determining the events of our time? Could it reveal the secret of our future? Are recent events a warning that we are approaching judgment? How much time do we have left? Author Jonathan Cahn releases the book that reveals what could not be revealed until now. His newest New York Times bestseller, The Harbinger 2, The Return, embark on an epic journey to uncover the mysteries and revelations that are changing the world and will change your life. Available online and wherever fine books are sold.
You've heard me talking about MyPillow for 3 years. Folks, it's the truth. I get the best sleep of my life with a MyPillow. You can do it too. 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty, made in the USA. You'll sleep well or you'll get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, get 2 MyPillow premium pillows for the price of one, or call 1-800-951-8175. Get the best sleep of your life and do it now.
Some comments from the past are coming back to haunt President Biden. USA's Mike Fortier explains.
President Biden announcing Friday plans to form a committee to study Supreme Court reforms, including court packing. But in 1983, then-Senator Biden strongly criticized court packing.
President Roosevelt clearly had the right to send to the United States Senate and the United States Congress a proposal to pack the court. But it was a bonehead idea. It was a terrible, terrible mistake to make.
Biden's criticism of court packing was also evident in 2005.
He wanted to increase the number of justices to 15, allowing himself to nominate those additional judges. It took an act of courage on the part of his own party institutionally to stand up against this power grab.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the number of justices is just one aspect of reform the commission will look at. The Constitution doesn't say how many judges the court should have, but there have been 9 since 1869. From the USA Radio News Florida Bureau, I'm Mike Fortier.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, we're here tonight, and we have, listen, we're trying something that most people won't try. Bear with us. The transmission so far has gone a little bit rough, but here's, keep in mind what we got. Very few people, will, in fact, Sam has recommended against it, counsel me not to do this, but because it's kind of like supposed to be impossible. But I've been used to trying to getting through the impossible all my life. And we're going to do this tonight. Very few people would have. We have Ron Kukol, Phil Torney, and Bob Scarborough. They were all sailors in the United States Ship Liberty. And all, we also have Gene Andrews. That makes four people. That's a lot of people to manage. And you can't me counting five. That's a lot of people to manage on a remote show like this. So if you will, bear in mind, well, we're going to straighten it out. We're going to do great. But keep in mind who we got here, people. You're listening to history, sacred history. These three men, trying to hold back my tears, the incredible hell they went through, they were attacked by our beloved allies, our precious Jewish allies from that wonderful country in Israel. You know that we all worship here as Southern Baptists. We as Southern Baptists, we worship the Jews and we worship Israel. And that's why I hope we don't insult our Jewish brothers in Israel with the show tonight. But just keep in mind, these three men were napalmed, machine gun, torpedoed, hit with cannon, 20 millimeters, 40 millimeters, napalm. The lifeboats were, the Israeli pilots machine gunned the friggin' lifeboats. They dropped napalm on the United States Navy ship. For the first time in history we know of that ever happened. So, people, I just want you to know, please don't get bent up on a little bit of technical things here and there. We're making history now. These guys will not be alive too many, many years from now. I won't be alive. I'm 74 damn years old. But we're going to get this going, and please give these people respect. Give them the respect that they deserve. And like Ron said, pray to God. Thank God Almighty, because you know what? Without God Almighty, these guys here couldn't have done what they did. But thank Ron Kukol for acknowledging that. And with that little outburst, I'm going back to Phil. Phil, go ahead and finish up where you left off before we went to the break, Phil. Go ahead, brother.
I will. I thank your words very much. And, you know, I felt this way for a long time. If the truth bothers you, you're going to listen to the wrong people right now. But we're just going to tell you the truth. This isn't the anti-Semitic. This isn't for anything else or anti-nothing. It's just the truth. And let the chips fall where they may. But anyway, Ted Grope, Ben Grope, who got us to the library, they're called anti-Semitic. Loss of Liberty, a film that I was a co-producer with Admiral Moore and Ito Howard. Anti-Semitic. Admiral Moore was told by when he was a full, he was at the Joint Chiefs then. He said, "Phil, he says they asked me to give Israel stuff because they needed it more than we did." And he said he couldn't do it. You have to get it from Congress. He says, "You don't worry about Congress. You just go get it because I'll take care of Congress." And then there's True News. You know, they call them things because they tell the truth. Man, this is all the truth. We didn't make this up, guys. I mean, Jesus. So if the truth bothers you, you don't want to listen to me or anybody else, as far as I'm concerned, off that ship. But okay, Ron, go ahead, buddy. Ron, I'm just going to say Ron was a hell of a man that day and afterwards. He's been a dear friend, as Bob has. Two dear friends. And I love these guys. They're heroes, my heroes. Go ahead, Ron. Let Eddie take it from here. But that's all I wanted to say, and then you can say what you want to, buddy.
Okay. Okay, Ron. We'll get Ron. Well, we'll get Ron to go back. Hey, Ron, if you will, let's take off where you want to go. But I know you were. I may be saying it wrong, but you were kind of like head of the body recovery team. But you listen. You start anywhere you want to start. And then Bob can chime in when he wants to. And Gene is going to ask questions after you guys kind of give the audience your story about what happened there, what you did, what your jobs were. Then Gene is going to be the one to come in and ask the principal question. He's going to be the principal interviewer. So go ahead, Ron.
All right, thank you. I'll just start from the time that from the day or from the morning of the attack. I got out of my rack. I was ready to go back to the head or to the bathroom and do my showering and whatever. And a lot of my men that slept in the same area that I did were talking to me about the reconnaissance planes that were flying around and that they had the Star David on them and they were checking us out. And I said, well, then don't worry about it because they're our friends, our allies. And there's really nothing to worry about. Go ahead and do what you're going to do. Go get chow and then go to work. I'll be there to see you. And I supervised the key branchers of the security group in that area. And I went to work and never worrying about a thing. And about 11:30 that morning, I went topside. And I looked up in the air, and I did see a flying boxcar over the top. I think they're called the C-130, if I'm not mistaken. But I have no idea what that plane was doing, and I didn't see the reconnaissance planes that morning or none of that, but I do know they were there because my men come and told me so. So after Chow, we had a general quarters drill, that lasted for an hour, and at 1400, it was over with, and I went back down to my workspace. At about 1401 or 1402, the attack began. And when it began, I had no idea what was going on up above me because I was two decks down below the main deck. And all I heard was the strafing above, and it sounded like, to me, it sounded like hail on a tin roof. That's exactly what it sounded like. I had no idea that we were being attacked even at that point. And I did ask myself several questions. What is this? What happened? And I thought of everything from running aground to you name it. Well, when the captain came aboard the 1MC, or came on the 1MC, which is the ship's intercom, and said, prepare for torpedo attack, which was a little bit later on down the line, time-wise, I figured I had prepared as much as I possibly could. And the watertight doors were closed. We were ready for whatever might happen. I went from my desk to some equipment that I operated, and my next preparation was to go to prayer. And I did go to prayer. I asked for my life. I promised a lot of things I know I couldn't follow through on, but I promised them anyway. And even things like saying I'd be in church every Sunday for the rest of my life, which was kind of hilarious, but that's what you do when you're in a life-threatening situation. After my prayers, I went back to my desk and was just standing there trying to contemplate what to do. Right there at my desk, I heard a voice. I don't know if anybody else heard that voice. And that voice said simply, get down and get down now. I know I didn't move fast enough because I don't have any idea how I got from standing up by my desk to my nose sat, flat on the steel deck about 3 seconds before the torpedo exploded. So if people wonder why I say it was divine intervention, it certainly was that day. To be on the steel deck 3 seconds or so, or maybe 5 seconds before the torpedo exploded, it's uncanny to me. To this day, I know I didn't put myself there. And so when the torpedo exploded, I could hear the shrapnel flying through the air above my head, and it was killing about everybody in that compartment, except for a couple of guys. And I think that Bob Scarborough was one of them that survived the explosion. And if I remember, correctly, I think he was hanging off of one of the ladders going to the deck up above. I don't know how it got there. He can explain that to me, to all of us when it comes time for him to speak. But I just wanted to make sure that I got in this one miracle that happened to me personally. There's no way I should be here, that I should be alive. Being put from standing up after my prayers, standing at my desk to the steel deck, just a few seconds before the torpedo exploded is absolutely amazing. I can tell you that right now. So, yes, I was in charge of the body recovery after this was all over with.
Hey,
and,
Ron, we have to go to a quick commercial break, Ron. Yeah. We'll be right back. We have to go to a quick commercial break, and please don't leave out the miracle when we come back about how the hatch door was unlocked, but somehow it got unlocked. And we'll bring Bobby in on that and then Gene. Be right back, people. Hold on to your seats.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we do love you, and I hope you had a wonderful Easter last Sunday. I most certainly did. Anyway, people, we have Ron Kukol, Phil Torney, Bob Scarborough, three surviving sailors. They survived the Israeli attack on the United States ship Liberty. I believe it was June 8th, 1967. Israel fully intended. They did their damnedest to sink that ship. They wanted to sink that ship to the bottom of the sea. And keep in mind, with the full approval of Lyndon Baines Johnson, that good Democrat, and also that other traitor, Robert Stinkin' McNamara, the Secretary of Defense. It was all planned. It was all planned ahead of time. And they did everything they did, what they could, to sink that ship, because they wanted to blame it on Egypt and bring, like, my sons, my grandsons, and bring other American boys in yet another endless war to make the war safe for Israel. That's what went on there. You know, I'm going to shut up now, go back to Ron. I think that Gene is going to have a question for Ron in just a minute about one of the supernatural miracles that he experienced, and then we'll bring Bob Scarborough in. So go ahead, Ron. Finish up what you're going. I think Gene's got a question for you.
That's fine. I don't know for sure what you meant about the hat store being open or opening up, but the only thing I can tell you about that is after the torpedo exploded, I was about shoulder depth or height in water, and I headed towards the ladder going to the topside, and the hatch wasn't open, but the scuttle hole, which is a hole in the middle of a hatch that you can open up, and it does that way you don't have to completely open the hatch up, was open, and men were at the top of that hatch. Some of the other survivors pulling us guys up through that hole as we come up there one at a time. That's the only thing that happened with the hatch that I can tell you about. After that happened, they pulled me through. I headed for the main deck, and this is the second miracle that I understand happened, and Phil Turney is the only one that can verify it, but he said, when I got out on the main deck, we were all out there slapping each other on the back, shaking hands, and just happy to get out of that watery grave. And Phil said he was standing there watching us, and we were being machine gunned even at that time, and the bullets were flying everywhere. We were absolutely oblivious to those bullets. We were so happy to get out from down below. And so Phil told me of this miracle, and he can verify it, I guess, as I don't remember that happening. I was out there shaking hands, and I don't remember them still firing at us. And yes, I was the petty officer in charge of the body recovery, and that's the third miracle as far as I'm concerned, because, well, I'll tell you what my trauma doctor told me about it. She told me, she said, I don't know how you did this.
I don't know how you could have possibly done it, but I know one thing. And she said this. The mind will not record anything of that magnitude. It just won't record it. And I think she was right, because I actually did not remember the nuts and bolts of doing it. I do remember trying to put pieces together to make a body out of it. That's the only thing I remember. But each thing detailed, it just didn't get recorded. So, yes, I did that. Ernie Gallo was down there. He came up beside me and asked me how I could do this. Well, I know how it was done. It's, again, another miracle that God has performed and performed that day right there at that very, very moment, allowed me to be able to identify those bodies, or not identify them, but to pick those bodies up as they were being hauled up to me from down below, and there were some topside, or somewhere I was at on the second deck down, too, where the torpedo exploded. But to be within 50 to 60 foot of that explosion and still be here right now to tell about it is a miracle in itself. I could talk a miracle of miracles, and I could just keep talking forever, and some of them I've heard, and some of them happened to me. If you got a question, go ahead and shoot it at me. I got in what I wanted to get in here.
No, Ron, go ahead, yeah. And Phil and Bob, I have a question for y'all that I want to get clarified for our listeners. Now, when this happened back in 1967, the cover story that Lyon Linden and McNamara and John McCain Sr. and all the Navy brass came out with, and the news media, that this was just a terrible mistake. Oh, it was so bad, our ally would never do anything like this to us on purpose. It was a terrible mistake. But I want y'all, if you would please, to give us the time sequence of the air attack. And it wasn't just one plane flying over. It was several planes that attacked the ship. And then, when that didn't put you all on the bottom, then they sent the torpedo boats out there. Can you give us a time sequence from when that first attack happened right after 1400 hours, which for civilians is around 2 p.m., and how long that attack went on from the air and then the attack from the torpedo boats? Gentlemen, if you would take that over, please.
Phil is the best
like
one to answer that question, I think.
I'll answer
okay,
this if you want me to.
Yeah, Phil.
Yeah, right, Phil. Go ahead, fella.
I wasn't ever topside, Phil, so I think that would be a good spot for you to jump in.
All right. The attack started around 2 o'clock, here or there, but 1400 is what everybody says, and I could believe it. When they came down to get us, it was more than one, two, or three planes. It was anywhere from 8 to 12 planes during the initial strafing and bombing. There was over 850 cannon and rocket holes in that ship. 850 over 5,000 armor-piercing bullets. They shot up all of our life rafts before we put over life rafts, even over. They were burning them up and shooting them up. Everything that moved, they tried to kill them or maim them, and they did. It just kept on and kept on and kept on. It seems like it was never going to end. And in my mind right now, it hasn't ended till the truth comes out. But it went on for probably an hour and 15 minutes, and they were gone after the napalm, the bombing, the strafing, everything else to kill Americans on the high seas, and not a chance in God's got green earth to save themselves, except each other and our wits and our will to live and our faith in Jesus Christ. So it was, and then here come the torpedoes. We didn't know who was firing at us. We thought it was the Arabs. And in my own mind, Dean and Eddie and everybody listening, I thought it was World War III somewhere else, and they didn't have really time for us. I mean, we were just minuscule. But I did not know at that time, and I found out later, We prevented World War III by not sinking. Now think about how powerful that is. That's about as powerful as anything you could ever hear. But
yes.
Then here come the torpedoes and found out it was the Israelis, and we wanted the Israelis to win. What a bunch of dummies we were. Prior to everybody kept on doing it, but the torpedo hit and picked the ship up out of the water. It was unbelievable. And I've said this before, the hand of God had to do it. I mean, there's nobody else could do it. Nobody else is going to come help us. And then those poor guys down there in the engine room and the CT spaces below the waterline, not one of those guys left their ship, left their area. In the machine shop, anywhere, machinists, mate, ETs, anybody, they stayed at their station just like the CTs did. They did run off like a bunch of rats when torpedoes were coming. What kind of bravery does that take? It takes the best men in the world. So Bob Scarborough to tell you about the torpedo attack, because he is very, very fortunate to have survived. And, boy, I sure am happy and proud he did. And I'm so sorry for the ones that didn't. Go ahead, Bob.
Thank you, Phil. From my perspective, I had a mid-watch the night before, which I got off work at 7 a.m., got a little breakfast, hit the rack, and slept. Didn't get up till 11-ish, give or take. And everybody was, and I just in time for a little more chow. And so we were sitting around in our berthing space talking about, they'll never attack us. We're protected. We got Israel here. We got... we got two aircraft carriers about 300 or 350 miles from us. We just weren't worried about anything about that kind of thing. And we had the about 1300. We had our practice GQ. So we all the alarm went off. We all hit our GQ spaces or our GQs. And my particular GQ was down in the spaces where I worked, two levels below the main deck, in Radio 1. And so that lasted for, less than an hour, close to an hour, but Nim was back up in our berthing spaces talking when the first strafing attack happened. And I heard those shells hitting the deck above our heads, which sounded like a chain being dragged across the ground, or so it was. There was no mistaking what it was. So the GQ alarm went off. Everybody was heading for their GQ station. So I wasn't topside all morning at all. So I went to my GQ station. I was there, not knowing what was going to happen. I don't know what the time frame was from the time that the strafing was over and we started getting shelled from the torpedo boats who just, chased us and were firing torpedoes and firing their cannons. And so at one point...
Hey, Bob, we have to go to a break and we're transitioning into the second hour. But Bob, as soon as we come back from this break, please take up exactly where you left off, and we'll see if Gene has any questions. But don't lose your train of thought. We'll be right back in a few minutes. People, we're getting ready to go to the second hour. You listen to Blood River Radio. Eddie Bombardier Miller got Gene Andrews setting shotgun tonight. Be right back.